This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Now let's start the show.
This is why you're single. This is why you're single. This is why you're single. Ba 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 ba. This is why you're single. Ba 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 ba.
Welcome to the This Is Why You're Single podcast. I'm Laura Lane.
And I'm Angela Sparrow. We are the co-writers of the book, This Is Why You're Single. Every week we highlight a different dating topic. This week's episode is dating with disabilities.
Also in the lineup, we're talking about what's new in dating news, what happened when a writer hid his disabilities from his dating profile, and how sexual assistants are helping disabled Czechs fulfill their right to sex. Then we're diving into the mailbox to answer your listener questions. But first, we want to welcome this week's guest. She's a speech-language pathologist who specializes in dating for individuals with special needs and disabilities. She works privately with individuals who have communication difficulties to adjust their dating profiles, analyze their texts, and talk about how to adjust their perspectives during dating. Please welcome this week's guest, Allie Arena.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Hi, Allie.
Hello.
So, Allie, disabilities can mean a lot of things. Who do you typically work with, and how did you get into your field?
So, I typically work with individuals with high-functioning autism who have communication difficulties. And it started because a few people reached out with interview difficulties. So, they were having a hard time moving up in their job. And then really slowly, they were like, so I'm also not getting any dates. And that led me to start looking at their dating profiles. And that was eye-opening when I saw their conversations and text messages. So that sort of brought me into this.
I mean, dating basically is an interview for a job. So see how there's like the parallel.
They feel very similar. What were the conversations like?
Very one-sided. So, a lot of the people I've worked with who have been male. So a lot of guys sending like 4 or 5 messages without any response and sort of not seeing how that would look to other people.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like a social, not knowing like social etiquette, I guess, when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm. It is something that happens with a lot of men though.
Yes.
You know, across the board.
And women.
Yeah, I guess.
I've definitely sent the like, hey, what's going on?
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey. How's your day? Hey, remember that like funny movie we saw? I just saw a billboard for it. Right. Hey. But yeah, you know, what kind of advice do you give them when you see like 4 or 5 texts? Are you just like, don't do that?
So I kind of take a step back and I help them realize like, so people really are kind of fake, right? And that's sad, but true, but that's how we operate. So I kind of break that down. Like a person probably isn't going to say to you, no, or I don't want to talk to you. So they're ignoring you. And a lot of the guys I've worked with, they honestly didn't see that. That was like eye opening. Like they were just like, no, they're genuinely busy or they made up something kind of like we do, right? If a guy doesn't reply, we make up some story of why they're not replying. But their story will stick for weeks. So like they may have messaged a girl 3 weeks ago and they're still waiting for her to reply.
Mm, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah. But it's good to keep in mind like the next time that you get 5 messages in a row over the course of a period of time, like don't be mean about it.
Exactly. Maybe you don't know what's going on. Tell them the truth.
Yeah, tell them the truth. Do you recommend that people put their disability in their profile, on their dating profile?
So I think there's a gamut of disabilities, right? There's a wide array.
It really is. Disability is this word that we have that includes so many things. It includes like depression, amputees, it includes autism, it includes MS, it includes, I mean, you could go on and on and on. It includes chronic illness. Yes, I guess it is hard, I guess, to kind of loop in all disabilities together since it probably is a case by case.
So one of the things that you learn when you work with individuals who have disabilities is you say like a person with autism or, you know, like a person with intellectual disability. So you always keep like a person.
So I like that.
Yeah. So I think you try to figure like how you identify. So if you're not identifying as your identity of having autism, you might not put that on your profile. But if you are aware that that like does make it difficult for you to communicate and you're cool with that and you know that, then put it on your profile so other people can know that too.
That's interesting. Yeah, some people really, like whatever the case is, it really becomes a big part of their identity, whereas some people just don't.
Right.
They don't think about it.
Yeah, and I guess it depends on like how you were raised, like where you went to school, like if you're deaf and you're from a deaf family, you're probably very into deaf culture. But if you were raised by a family that hears, you probably like just lip read and get by.
Yeah, I think it really depends on, yeah, like how you were sort of taught to deal with your disability and what your identity is with that. And then knowing that the world is either going to, you know, whoever's swiping on you or whatever is going to take that and understand that. Like some people have siblings who have autism, right? Mm-hmm. And they know what that is. And then there's other people who see that and are terrified. So it's just, it depends on the type of person that you're going to get on the other end.
Yeah. And even like autism, it's such a spectrum.
Such a spectrum. Yeah.
There's like very high functioning people with autism and then less functioning. What is the biggest misunderstanding about dating with disabilities, would you say?
I think, and I've heard this from a few individuals, like, I don't need a mom or a caretaker. And I think sometimes people think because they have a disability that you, like, you automatically, as the person dating them, would go into that role. Mm. And I could say for a lot of the guys that I work with high-functioning autism, like, their brains are incredible. Like, okay, so maybe the social isn't the best it could possibly be, right? But they're unbelievably talented in like their engineering brain or like their medical brain. So just knowing there's lots of other sides to a person's personality.
So with specifically the guys with like Asperger's that you work with,
yeah,
do they have a hard time once they're in person, like identifying emotions? And, like, do you work with them on that?
For sure. So even within that, right, so autism's this huge spectrum of, like, you know, like, nonverbal to then high-functioning. And even within the high-functioning realm, there's definite, like, differences. So it depends where someone is. A lot of the guys I work with, you know, if I show them a picture of someone who's happy, like, they know what that is, right? But if I, like, look annoyed and I sort of give them a look, they don't see that. So those are, like, the finer cues that they don't get. So my assumption would be if they get to that point in a relationship, that's really hard for them to read.
Mm. So how do they deal with that obstacle?
So I try to practice, I mean, literally by giving them those cues repetitively and trying to show them and like, look, identify this on my face. Like, how are you feeling when you realize that my face is showing you that? And another thing is just for them to regulate their own emotions. So something that goes along with the disability is sometimes, not being able to figure out how you feel, like not being able to express how you feel, which I think is hard for most people, right? But even having less vocabulary to do that. So I think once they can figure that out within themselves, it makes it a lot easier to read what other people are feeling.
Mm, that's interesting.
So navigating sex must be really hard. And I know that sex among people with disabilities is kind of a taboo subject. So do you deal with any of their sex questions?
So the only question I've ever really gotten, and I'm actually trying to get a disabilities and sexuality certificate because, like, I feel like the advice I'm giving is, like, my own personal advice. And I'm like, am I really qualified to? But the one guy had mentioned that, you know, he was trying to be intimate with someone. And he sort of explained the things he was doing. And I was like, where did you hear this? And he was like, you know, porn. Like, I just watch porn all the time. Ooh. And I was like,
this isn't even like a disability issue. This is like a teenage issue with like porn being so accessible now that like a lot of people think that that's how you're supposed to have sex.
Right. If that's your only point of reference.
Yeah.
And they don't have typically a really good friend group. So there's no guy saying to them, like, actually, I wouldn't really do that, you know? So they have no one to like bounce ideas off of. And that doesn't get translated well, especially because most of my guys are very literal, so they might even repeat full phrases from porn. And like when you bring that into a natural setting, it's not good.
Right. What kind of phrases are we talking about?
I can't even think of one to repeat right now. But one
like, "Hey, nurse."
He's like, one guy repeated very like,
"I'm in marketing."
Like dominatrix type of like,
and you just have to have a discussion with somebody beforehand to see if they are into that, and maybe they are.
Exactly.
Right.
You can't just bring handcuffs and like,
expecting like a romantic lovemaking.
Yeah. That could be a problem. How do you, so like with my sister, she has, I guess, what she calls like an invisible disability. Like you can't really see it because it's like more like chronic fatigue with fibromyalgia. What kind of advice do you have for people dating with like invisible disabilities, like chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and those type of things?
I guess I would say like to see where you are with the person, and almost like just like with us, like what's the point? Are you going to like start to reveal some of your baggage or your stuff, right? And sort of view it in like that perspective, like that perspective, like not that this is this huge thing. This is just something else that I'm going to reveal with other things about me. Because the person you're supposed to be with obviously needs to know these things about you, but I don't think you have to hand it out like on the first date. I don't think you have to do that.
Yeah, I think like that's what the struggle is, because it's like, oh, what if the date is like a hiking date, and it's like I can't hike, yeah. You know,
right?
Or like I'm not going to be able to stand on my feet for 3 hours, you know, or I might want to bring my wheelchair, and then you didn't know, you know. I think like that's like a struggle that a lot of people with those type of illnesses mm-hmm. have. So yeah, it is hard. They might not want to reveal it later on, and then all of a sudden they're faced with, oh shit, I have to reveal it right away, you know?
So I've never gotten that, but I never thought about that. I actually hate when a guy asks me on a hike for a first date, because I'm like, really? Like,
same.
You want to see me like do you like breathe heavily and like come up, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess, again, it's feeling out who you want to be on a date with. And then if you are in a wheelchair or you do have chronic fatigue, I think at that point you could be honest as like to why that doesn't work for you. I mean, for me, it's like I'm personally out of shape. That's why I can't interact with you. But, you know.
Right. I mean, yeah, no matter who you are, it's fair to be like, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
Let's do something else, I guess.
That's true. You could just make another excuse until you're ready to reveal more information. What are some ways you help patients improve their confidence?
So one thing I do, I've noticed that some people who come to me weren't ever actually diagnosed with high-functioning autism. It's sort of like they were always that little bit weird, right? And now they're, like, having a really hard time. So kind of giving them that identity and letting them know, like, it's okay. Like, that's really what's going on. Other ways are just to help them with their dating profile, like literally helping them pick pictures, going over how to talk, and just, like, reminding them of their really positive qualities, because most of these guys are so sweet, such nice guys.
What kind of pictures do they have you found that they choose that don't work?
Like super close to the face, and not even like selfie. Like it's like, who took that for you? That's like really in there. Or just like large family photos where it's like, which one are you? So no in between, right? And pretty much always doing the exact same thing. So like sitting, either like drinking, or there's no like variety to it.
Mm. I feel like this is like advice that would be good for anybody.
Yeah.
I know. I was going to say, so are you single, Allie?
I'm not. I'm dating someone. Okay. Recently, though. Not, I mean, and I met on Bumble, so.
Yeah. So you've done the whole online dating thing. Have your, like, have working with your patients, like, affected how tolerant you are of certain messages or?
I think so. Like, one guy kind of over-messaged me, but I, like, could see his, like, sincerity. So I was like, okay, like, let's. And then there wasn't a spark or whatever. But I think there are times where I'm like, I'm just going to give it a try because why not?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Did you have something you want to say?
I think I was going to say the same thing as you. So you say it.
Take it away. All right. Before we move on, I wanted to know what you would tell people who have a disability and are struggling with dating, or what would you tell people who don't have a disability but are dating someone who does?
Okay.
Kind of either or.
Yeah. So
big question.
I think one thing is to totally honor that you have a disability, and that's challenging and hard, but also to remember that dating for most people is very challenging. I mean, there's full podcasts about it, right? So just to remember that
yes, there is.
It's difficult to do that. And I think like you guys alluded to before, if you are on the receiving end and someone is kind of texting you a lot or mentions that they have a disability and you don't feel comfortable with it, like, you don't have to be a dick. You can just be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I don't think I'm at that point, or like, I'm not ready to date. And like, yes, they're probably going to see it as a letdown, but it's way nicer than being like ghosted or saying something rude. So, yeah.
Cool.
All very enlightening.
Yeah.
We've been wanting to have you on the podcast for a long time. So we're very excited that you came. Are you guys ready to jump into what's in the news?
Yeah.
Angela, what have you been reading about in the news?
So my news story is actually perfect for what we were just talking about. It's from Philly.com by a writer named Jason Laughlin, and he wrote about what happened after he removed from his dating profile any pictures that showed his disabilities. So
what were his disabilities?
He says he was born with birth defects that left him shorter than the average person. So he's like about like half of an average person's height, and he walks with crutches. So he said for a long time, actually dating apps have helped him meet people, because for a long time he didn't date at all. And then he started using dating apps and he was in a relationship, and he said it didn't work out, but he was relieved it worked out because of his shitty personality and not his handicap. He was like, that was the least of it. So
I already like his sense of humor.
I know. He's super cute, but he said there was a period of time where like it had been a bunch of weeks and he not only hadn't gotten any dates, he hadn't gotten any matches. So he decided to do a little experiment, and he removed any pictures where you could tell that he had a disability. And he said the results were pretty upsetting, because after he had several matches within the hour, which never happened to him, and people were messaging him first, which never happens usually, and he just felt like there was this whole world that previously he hadn't seen, you know. Yeah. And he said like his whole life he kind of like knew it was there, but could kind of be like, well, maybe it's not, and this like gave him a glimpse. So eventually he would reveal to these women that he did have a disability. And he said that some people were cool with it and they would end up going on dates. Other people would admit that they didn't want to date with somebody with disabilities, and he respected those people. The people that hurt him the most were the ones that were like, oh, I'm totally cool with it. And then would just slowly disappear.
Like then they would ghost him?
Like clearly lying. Mm,
yeah, that's messed up. Does that happen to any of your patients?
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if that's so much about disabilities, but just like shallow culture, unfortunately. Yeah, that's upsetting. And that's so sad that his experiment just proved not what he wanted.
I know. But he also, I mean, he did wrap up the article by saying like he couldn't even judge other women because they were people that he had rejected for physical reasons. And he just kind of realized like everybody is shallow in their own way. He's still single and he hasn't decided what he's going to do moving forward, because he might still try the no pictures of his disability and get to know people first.
How do you feel about that? Do you, someone that has like a physical disability like that, do you think reveal it or don't reveal it? Like this is totally different, but like we've struggled over this with like someone who's bald has emailed us and said like, do I have to show pictures where I'm bald?
Right.
You know? And it's like anything physical, it's basically anything physical that you have an insecurity over, whether it's a disability, right, whether it's your bald, whatever it is, it's like your own insecurity. And you're not sure whether or not to present that to the world.
I've always felt like it will hurt you in the end, because eventually if you do meet up, the jig is going to be up eventually, which is why he was smart. He did. I mean, he eventually told all these women. He never like was like, let's hang out, and then just showed up without telling them.
Yeah. I think as long as you're honest before you meet up, that makes a big difference. And I understand if he feels that he's, you know, at physical disadvantage or whatever, and he wants to use his personality and talk to people, like that's fair. But yeah, I mean, at the same time, those apps, unfortunately, are about appearance. So people are going to look at that. And they, not that they have the right, but I think the other people would like to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting test that he did.
I know.
I'm glad he wrote about it.
I know. So, yeah, that's – but it's – what you bring up is totally true. Like, a lot of people have, like, this big secret. Like, we've had a lot of single moms that are, like, not sure if they should put it in their profile, guys that are bald. Like, everybody has a thing that they're not sure if they should reveal right off the bat or not.
I realized after dating, I was like, I had skeletons I didn't even know about in my closet.
like what, Laura?
No, I'm not telling you. That's why they're skeletons. I'm keeping them in there.
Okay.
But yeah, everybody has something. Let's just say that. Whether it's like physical or otherwise, y'all got We all have our own insecurities.
We all have our junk.
Yep, we do.
So that's my news story. What are you reading about?
So I'm reading Euronews.com. This is such a good story. It's how sexual assistants are helping disabled Czechs fulfill their, quote, right to sex. The Czech Republic has instituted a right to sex initiative, which promotes sexual assistance for people with disabilities. And this has provoked a lot of heated reactions in what is usually a very open-minded society where some prostitution is even legal. So here's a quote from one of the people who joined the initiative. He said, "People with disabilities are taboo and sexuality is taboo. No one really speaks about it. And here you have people with disabilities and sexuality together, both taboo topics at once." And this is a guy named Thomas Pick. Thomas has a rare neurological disease which causes movement problems and has confined him to a wheelchair for the past 6 years. And he was having trouble. He couldn't date. He couldn't have sex. Even like some prostitutes were hesitant to have sex with him. So he joined this initiative. It's called Pleasure Without Risk. And they have selected and trained 5 women known as, quote, sexual assistants to help disabled Czechs explore their sexuality and satisfy their needs. Their services were approved by the government's Interior Ministry. The Czech sexual assistants are mostly former prostitutes, but they do not necessarily offer sex to their disabled clients. I want to know what you guys think about this.
I think that's amazing. I haven't heard of this. So I know, like, in American culture, there's tons of, like, research and interviews of people with, like, cerebral palsy or autism, and they're not in a special needs class at all, right? Like, they're cognitively intact, being pulled out of the room when sexual education went on in, like, sixth grade.
That's
why would they need it, right?
Horrible. Oh, no. That is disgusting.
Yeah, it's terrible. So the fact that that's being addressed at all is amazing. I've also worked with individuals with low-functioning autism. And, you know, puberty happens and they discover what they have and, like, no one talks to them about it. And then they just feel, like, shameful. And it's so sad because it should just be discussed. Because it's a natural thing.
Yeah, it really is. It is. It's so taboo. Like, I guess depending on, like, how cognitively there someone is, it's like if someone is without a disability is dating someone with a disability, it's like, okay, do they have a right to consent? And it's like a very big gray area. Yeah. But these people are opting in to do this. Here's what one of the trained assistants said. Her name is Vladana Augustnova. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. She used to dance in nightclubs and would have sex for money to feed herself and her child. But as a sexual assistant, she no longer offers sex. She says, "I use touching, hugging, and massages to open up my client's sexual energy." And she adds that regardless of disability, everyone can feel an inner pleasure when they connect to their sexuality. Someone that's a part of this organization, or no, a psychotherapist, excuse me, says, "We realize that these people would be much happier if they had somebody beside them whom they could live with and experience their sexual needs, and that ideally they would not need any sexual assistance." This is psychotherapist Luci Sidova of the Freya organization, an organization that runs a program of sexual assistance. She says, "But the reality is different, and therefore, according to our opinion, it's necessary that there is a possibility of sexual assistance." So, yeah, I think this is very interesting. And other countries such as Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, and Netherlands are considering adopting this.
I think so. There was an American movie about a sex therapist and working with a man with cerebral palsy. I forget the name of it, but I guess it does exist here.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm getting my knowledge from Hollywood here, but
are you sure this was this a documentary or
no,
was this a?
It wasn't a documentary. But I think it was based on a true story.
Oh, okay.
And what wound up happening was the man with cerebral palsy, like, fell in love with his sex therapist because it was the only woman he had ever had sex with. But she respectfully was like, "No, this is a business thing, but we're friends." They were friends. It was nice.
That's good. Beautiful ending.
Beautiful ending.
So, yeah, would you like to see something like this happen here?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it promotes safety, too, right? A lot of these individuals get taken advantage of because they're in these, like, online chat rooms, and people realize, right, if someone's not totally quick or, like, all there or whatever, and they'll kind of take advantage and, like, realize that they can either sexually or, like, financially, right? Like, they want you to send money. And I just think something like this is such a safe way to explore. You're not going to be exploited by like a sex worker or put in that situation. So I think this is really nice. I think we're probably far from that occurring anytime soon, but it would be a very nice thing.
I couldn't agree more. All right, guys, we're about to jump into the mailbox, but first let's take a moment to thank some of our sponsors. All right, Angela, you ready to jump into the mailbox?
I am.
First, I want to talk about an old listener email that we got, mm-hmm. and it's how we found Allie. When we initially reached out to you, it was because you had emailed us after hearing us answer a listener question from a woman named Sarah. Now, remind me of what that email was about.
So Sarah emailed us. She's blind, and she's using Tinder. And she said that she was conflicted about putting the fact that she was blind in her profile.
And people were backing out of dates.
Right. So she didn't have it in her profile, but so she would talk to the guys a little bit. And then when they would decide to meet up, she would tell them. And she found more often than not, guys would back out or they would ghost her, similar to the news story that we read earlier. So she was wondering just how to get people to be more accepting and what she should do, how she should handle it.
Yeah, we want to get your perspective on that old listener question.
So kind of like you guys had answered, just sort of having confidence in where you are and sort of seeing what you feel comfortable with. You really have to just hope that the person on the receiving end is understanding and also being in a position where you can advocate for yourself. Like, she's fine. She's how old, and she's been living with blindness. Like, she knows what she's doing. So to just make sure to show that she's good and she's looking to date, not to have a caretaker or anything else.
I like that. Well, I hope Sarah's doing well. I think she got in touch with my sister.
She did.
Yeah.
They're buds now.
I love that. I love connecting people. This is great. My sister studies social justice, so I knew she'd be the right person to help answer that question.
Yeah.
And now we have Allie. So two people answering the question that are...
So many resources.
So many resources we like to provide here. All right, but we've got some new questions for you, Allie. Angela, what do we have this week?
We do. Okay, so first up, we have a question from an anonymous listener. They write, I was wondering about how I can put myself out there when I feel really shitty about how I look. I recently was told by my doctor that I am obese. Since then, I have been working on losing weight and doing well so far, but I feel like I won't be a viable dating option until I lose all the weight, and that could take years, if ever. I'm 20 now, and I don't want to miss out on prime dating years. Any advice?
Okay, so I mean, losing weight's like a thing for everyone, right?
Even yeah, this is like, not
this
not
a this, is, like,
this
yeah.
is not a disability question.
Yeah. So for me personally, just when I'm in my best like self, like you just feel confident, right? And half of dating is just feeling confident with yourself. So I would say to her to like work on that, but don't have some like crazy number that you're hitting, and then you can go on your dates. Just sort of like simultaneously be working on you, and hopefully it will fall into place for her.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting that because she says in all caps, she wants to lose all the weight before she even lets herself date. And
right.
I don't think you can do that. I think she has, yeah, like you said, get to a place where she's confident and comfortable, but you don't have to be a stick figure before you can date people.
Also, if like health has become such a big part of your life, how fun would that be to find someone that you're dating that also loves health and like also wants to like go to the gym with you and like mm-hmm. and like is interested in nutrition? Like, wouldn't that be so much fun? I feel like I read all those like back when I used to work at People Magazine, they'd read all those like People Magazine, like, look how much weight they lost. And they always would talk about like how like their partners were by their side. And like, you're going to find someone that loves you for you and your awesome personality, and find someone that wants to like go down this like fun and exciting journey towards health with you.
Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely yeah. makes it a lot easier when you don't have somebody buying Cheetos in your house.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this will be like such a, if you do end up like, you know, really being serious about your health, this will have been such like a big achievement for you. I feel like it would be so cool to have someone like alongside you, helping you cheer you on and be your like little cheerleader. I don't think you need to, you're going to find people that like want to help you celebrate that goal and that think your personality is amazing. And I'm sure, and you're, I'm sure you're beautiful now. Like, you don't need to lose all the weight to be beautiful enough to date. That's like not a real thing. There's so many people that are interested in all different body types, like no matter what it is. So I think just start dating now.
Yeah.
And like talk about this on your dating, since this is going to be such a big part of your life and like it'll be such a big lifestyle change, you know?
Agreed.
What else do we have in the mailbox?
Now we have an email from Mike. Mike writes, I can't stand to see young ladies write a short bio on Bumble that reads, I'm into hiking, like dogs, and being a good travel buddy is a must. All one sentence.
And I'm was like, there's no apostrophes. There's no apostrophes in any of that.
Yep. He says, I realize dating sites such as Bumble only allow you to type a bio no longer than 300 characters, but is it too much to capitalize, use correct punctuation, or write a sentence? If I don't pass on them, what's my opening question going to be? Hey, I liked your profile, but just curious why you don't take time to write a proper sentence. No, Mike, that's not your opening line.
Please don't make that your opening line.
He says, just to note, the age range of these young ladies is similar to my age. Is it wrong to pass on someone just because of grammar and spelling?
Allie, what do you think?
Okay, so I'm a speech therapist, so I love grammar, obviously. My boyfriend would say I'm the worst texter ever, so I love grammar.
Ironic.
I know grammar. Wouldn't say I'm perfect at it all the time. But if that's something that's, like, driving you kind of nuts, like, then, yeah, don't swipe on it. Like, if that's something that you're noticing and it's irritating you, but at the same time, it could kind of be, like, a funny, like, joke, you know? Like,
right.
Remember how limited your profile was and your grammar? Like, it could be a funny thing. I don't think it's worth passing on someone, but if it really bothers you, then yes.
And I think it's all about context. I mean, like, when you're on a dating profile, when you're texting, you're more casual than you would normally be.
Yeah.
You're a speech pathologist and you just said you're a terrible texter. So he could be passing on a really smart lady that just has lazy thumbs, you know?
Can I read a paragraph from our book?
Always.
Okay. Here's what we wrote on page 100. I was like quickly trying to scroll it and stall while you guys were talking. Okay. So this is what we wrote in our book, which, you know, I wonder if we even remember writing it. We said, take time to clean up spelling errors and punctuation. Your profile isn't a text message to your best friend. You aren't handwriting this thing. Spell check is most likely alerting you with those little red dotted lines that something has gone horribly wrong. If the OCD part of your brain doesn't motivate you to right click and fix it, then maybe using the part of your brain that is tired of getting messages from dum-dums will. So I think our overall message in our book was like, dude, all these people out there, like, take time to clean up your profile. Like, don't, I know that dating is very time consuming, but at least spend the time to have punctuation. It's not a text message. Like,
agreed.
You may be a terrible texter, Allie. I am too. I'm always, Angela, I feel like there's not, like, every day that I'm text you, how many times do I do, like, an asterisk to, like, fix, like, the words that I totally mistyped? I feel like every text to you has an asterisk.
Autocorrect can be your enemy and not your friend.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, every time I type the word fuck, it comes out duck.
Every time.
Every time.
Ducking. It's always
stop cussing so much, Angela.
I'm sorry.
It could also mean they're not that into online dating at the moment, too,
I guess.
Right? Their profile is, like, kind of weak. Maybe they're just sort of doing it to do it.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I stand by what we wrote in the book, but, like, only, like, for me, it's, like, if it's, like, I can't even say the word. If it's, like,
grammatical,
really bad misspelling, then, like, no, I'm going to pass on you. But if it's just a case of a missing comma, I don't know.
I think
Mike should relax a little bit with the commas.
I would bring it up later, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
I wouldn't bring it up at all. I wouldn't. Like, if you're going to swipe right and you're going to go out with this person, don't be like, by the way, your profile missed a comma. Like, don't do that. Don't do that.
But maybe once you've been together for a year and you could be like, by the way.
No. What would be the point? You're just going to make them feel like shit and start a fight.
No.
Don't
could be
do
like
that.
A cute little, like, you're a bad speller.
No, don't do that.
All right. You're right. Laura's right.
Do not listen to these people. All right. But yeah, I think, Mike, you're not in the wrong to swipe left on people for bad spelling and grammar, but also, yes, take it with a grain of salt. It depends on how egregious this...
That's the word I was looking for.
...grammatical spelling error is. Good. It was egregious.
Egregious. Thank you.
You're welcome. Guys, if you want your listener questions answered or if you have funny text messages from an app you want to share, you can email us at contact@thisiswhyyoursingleshow.com. You can also find all of our contact info on our website at thisiswhyyoursingleshow.com. We are asking that you keep all of your questions like within about a paragraph, just basically so that they're a length that we could read on the podcast. Instead of like, you know, we like hearing your life stories, though. We do.
But it's just hard to edit them down.
It's hard to edit them down for the podcast, and it's better for everybody. Anyways, we love hearing from you. We truly read every email. So it might take us like a week or two to get back, but we will get back to you, and we read everything. All right, guys. You ready to dive into the reason of the week?
This week's reason is dating with disabilities.
Yes. We talked a lot about this at the top, but yeah, I guess how is there any advice you would give for someone on how to approach or how not to approach somebody with a disability that they want to date?
So coming from a social justice background and just knowing special needs, I think always just be open and ask questions. I think if you're being nice enough to ask questions, no one's going to get mad at you for asking the wrong question, right? Like, if you're really in it and having a conversation, like, just really ask stuff. It's really okay to not know and just ask.
I like that. Do you have any disability dating success stories that you want to share?
I do have a few guys who, individuals with high-functioning autism, which they're now going on, like, their second or third Bumble date, which I'm super excited about.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. And I think it also was helping finding girls who were sort of the same level of, like, nerdiness and, like, appreciated that. So they kind of can, like, delve into their topics together. And that's been helping, like, a lot. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people talk about disability, they get uncomfortable because they don't know what language is appropriate or politically correct. Like, I just recently found out I have a friend that works for Broadly, and they used the word lame in one of their headlines.
Is lame no longer
acceptable? They called something lame, and they were accused of being ableist because technically that is a word that's against people that are, like, cripple, I guess.
Oh, so. See, I didn't know this. I mean, I'm like a kid of the 90s, so like everything was like
lame. Yeah.
Everything was lame. Right. And like, and the R word, which like, I don't even want to say
well,
now.
Obviously
but,
that one is a no-no.
No, it's a no-no, but we'd be like, oh, this movie's retarded. And like, you can't say that now.
No,
I mean, now
not.
I'm even just saying it now. I feel like it's like, I want to say the R word, but yeah, I mean, I didn't know that lame was a word you can't use.
Right.
Yeah. So, I'd be like, this song is lame.
So is there any like language that people should be aware of or steer clear of or prefer to use?
So again, the vocabulary is like constantly changing. Like, to be honest with you, I didn't know the lame one and I kind of felt bad about that.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was always taught and try to do this, like it's person with whatever disability. So person first, disability is correct. And just ask, like, for all you know, there are, I don't know, other words for that. So just ask if there's a different word for it.
Yeah. Any advice on how to keep up since it is always evolving? And like, is it handicap a word that you don't use anymore?
It's not like frowned upon. I just think disability is used more commonly. Mm-hmm. Handicap kind of normally means like physically handicapped. And I think it was used more broadly than it should have been.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Okay.
I think just honestly, like following the news, like, I mean, I read a lot of like autism journals and like, being a speech therapist, a lot of diagnoses come in. So just like being aware.
Yeah.
Any podcasts that you would recommend about disability?
There's one called Disabilities in the Dark. I literally just found this. And it's a man who has a disability. And he talks about disabilities and sexuality, which is pretty cool. So
very relevant to this episode.
Literally just found him flying here. Like I like downloaded it. So I haven't even really delved into it. But it looks awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, the timing of this podcast, by the way, is, like, so appropriate because I recently fell in love with a deaf actor. I don't know him personally. I just have a crush on him from afar. And his name is Russell Harvard, by the way, guys. If you want to tweet at Russell Harvard that I really want to meet him and have him on the podcast. if you like, so like if I were single and Russell were single and I don't sign and he signs, how would you recommend like approaching as like an abled person approaching like,
Okay. So if he starts signing, you can literally do like hand gestures of like, I can't communicate like that. You can write stuff though, right? Like just write stuff like, down.
But like, so like for somebody, like, would you recommend pursuing that? Like,
I would think you should. I mean, if I always remember, like if you're dating someone that's primary language is a different language, I would study and learn that language.
Exactly.
Like if somebody,
yeah. Right.
If somebody was, French was like their main language, mm-hmm. and like English was their second language, and I knew that they felt more comfortable in French. I would start to like learn French so that I can at least like have somewhat of a conversation. Like I think you would 100% want to learn sign language.
Right. And like, or just get educated about like that culture. Like if you're going to date like a blind girl, like Sarah, I feel like you read a lot of pieces written about what it's like to live blind and
so
like understand.
So you can be more sensitive. Yeah.
Exactly. Cause you're going to say things that are like not appropriate, and it's going to be out of like innocence, not to
right,
be rude.
Not malicious.
No, yeah. No. And sign language is actually surprisingly very, very easy to learn. Like, and if you're dating someone who's deaf, they've obviously talked about, you know, use sign language and try to teach other people sign language. So I think you would be able to make it work.
I mean, I would say that this is advice for anybody dating anybody that has either an interest that you don't know about, that comes from like a culture that you don't know a lot about,
totally.
That is like extremely religious and you're not like, become interested in things that are important to the people that you're dating or things that, you know, that affect them on a day-to-day basis. Just become interested and read about it and become more aware, and it just shows that you care. If you put in the effort, it will show that you care. And like Allie says, like if you make a misstep every now and then, it'll be a lot better if you've at least shown the effort. Like if you are dating someone that's deaf and you have trouble communicating one time and you're in a fight and he's like, why don't you understand me? Like if he knows that you've been like putting in the time to like learn sign language and you're trying your best, that'll go a lot farther than if you like haven't tried at all and then you're having communication issues on top of that, you know?
Right. It just Absolutely. Helps you be a little more empathetic.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to dive into this a little bit more in our Reason of the Week breakdown. We've talked a lot about whether or not to put your disability on your dating profile, but there's a lot of other things that are up in the air on whether or not you should put them on your dating profile. Allie is going to help us in a game we call
Should You Put It In Your Dating Profile?
We are going to read a line from a profile, and Allie is going to give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down on whether or not it should make it past the cutting room floor of our dating profile. If it gets a thumbs down, she's going to help us fix the wording. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right. These are not things that involve disabilities, but they're things that people might not be sure about.
They're possibly skeletons.
True.
In your closet.
Okay.
Maybe one of them is one of Laura's that she was talking about earlier.
Maybe they all are. Only one way to find out. Okay. First up. Hope you don't. Here, I'll let you do the first one.
Oh, are you sure?
Yep.
You don't want to claim this one for your own. Hope you don't have a foot fetish because I have a bad case of athlete's foot that I just can't seem to kick.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I'm going to go with thumbs down.
Fine. All right.
How would you fix it?
I don't know. I mean, I did laugh. So like a part of me was like, that's kind of funny.
But what if they didn't want it to be funny?
Right. That's the thing. I don't know if I would put anything about a foot fetish initially at all.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Ready to move on. That is fair. We don't need to fix that. Okay. Next up. I'm a single mom, so I hope you like no sleep and Legos stabbing you in your back.
Thumbs down. Maybe just putting that you are a single mom and like, I don't know. Hope you like coffee maybe or something.
Yeah.
Like humor is good, but
a little positive spin.
Yeah. Painting a negative picture right off the bat isn't great. Okay. Currently going through a breakup. So my recent hobbies include watching The Notebook and listening to Adele on repeat.
I, It could be thumbs up. I guess it all depends on what you're trying to convey. All
right.
I guess. Just beware. You don't want to be a rebound.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of what's getting conveyed, and that you're looking for like some serious romancing.
Yeah. But yeah. I guess it shows that like you have a sense of humor about the fact that you just broke up with someone. Right. Maybe.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Next up. I still sleep with a teddy bear, so I hope your bed is big enough for three.
I'm going to go with thumbs down. I feel like people might read that inappropriately. I think it's supposed to come across cute, kind of. Like, but I just don't see people receiving it well.
Okay.
Right. Could be like a sexual thing.
Like, yeah. Or like just that you're obsessed with their teddy bear and can't. Right. Like, I don't know if people will like delve into more with that.
Yeah.
We're already psychoanalyzing it.
Fair enough.
It's my turn.
Yep.
Okay. I am 420 friendly, so looking for a partner with a cupboard full of munchies.
I guess thumbs up. Like, I mean, that's pretty true to what you're looking for.
Yeah. I see 420 friendly is a pretty common thing on dating apps.
Yeah. And you know what? If you are 420 friendly, you probably want that cupboard full of munchies.
Yeah. Yeah. Cover all your bases.
Okay. Next up. I like being called mommy in the bedroom. Will not answer to anything else.
Ooh, I feel like that can go either way. I feel like some people would respond really well to that, and others would just be like, I don't know where you're going with this. So I guess thumbs up, because you're going to attract what you're looking for.
Cool.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah, if you just want something sexual.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Fun fact, the first time I masturbated was to Joseph Gordon-Levitt circa Third Rock from the Sun.
I appreciate that, but thumbs down. I don't think I would put that on a dating profile.
No. There's no way to fix that either.
Like, I don't know how to edit it.
Not fixable. Fair.
Fix it and say Joseph Gordon-Levitt circa 10 Things I Hate About You.
No.
Is that better?
Nope.
Yeah.
Not fixable. All right. And this is our last one. I'm a virgin, so please don't get all freaked out, but thought you should know ahead of time.
Ooh, I would say thumbs down, because sometimes I think that's like taken sexually the wrong way, right? Like someone like wants to like de-virginize you,
yeah,
or whatever. Ugh. And I'm thinking someone would write that more like innocently to put it out there, but I think that's better to say like in person, not like written.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I feel like you'll get a lot of creeps that are like trying to de-virginize you, and it's not going to be a respectful conversation, needless to say.
Yeah, I think you're going to get more weird messages than nice ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so many girls, I feel like, overthink that particular thing where they're like, I have to put it right out there right away.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it could be your thing for
a
while.
Chill out a little bit. Guys, that is it for this week's This Is Why You're Single podcast. A huge thank you to Allie Arena. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Allie.
That was fun.
You guys can check out her website at Social Elise. Did I say that right?
Like Elise, like elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah.
.com. It's spelled Social, SocialElise.com. Any other plugs, Twitter, Insta, that you want to tell people about?
No, I mean, I have my personal Insta, but no, I don't have like an Insta.
Well, find her on her website then, guys. You can also check out our book. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and our audiobook is on Audible.
Yes, and you can get hooked up with discounts from our sponsors if you visit our website. For a full list of sponsors and codes, check out thisiswhyyoursingleshow.com. We're also on social. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Your Single Show. Please like and subscribe on iTunes. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week for a whole new show.
Bye.
This is why you're single. This is why you're single.
That was a HeadGum podcast.